When will we ever learn? That's a question that I ask myself and everybody else. And in my instant illumination, I come up with the answer, when we want to. And we want to when we want to. But otherwise, we don't want to. Really. You don't want to learn. We don't want to learn. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, being an observant philosopher. I am an observant philosopher. I look out at my world, and I see all sorts of interesting things going on. Now, I deal with parents often, and the parents say their children are terrible. They're not nice, they're discourteous, they're unhappy, they're unwieldy, they're recalcitrant, they're just not good children. And I don't say anything. I'm sort of like the dog whisperer, you know. I listen. And I listen as these people tell me these stories. And then I don't say anything. It's a smart thing not to say anything, you know. And so I don't say anything, and I just watch. And then I watch how they live in their home, because I'm usually a guest at the time they're throwing all this at me, you know. And so I watch how they treat their kids. And they say to their kids, "You're always doing it wrong." They say to their kids, "Why don't you cooperate? Why don't you do it like you're told to be done? You know, and you're always doing it wrong. You always want to do it your way. You're just so, you know, uncooperative." And maybe one of the kids is cooperative, you know. One of the kids learned how to wrap the parents around his fingers, you know. And the parents say to the kid, "We're ready to have dinner now." So he immediately goes and washes his hands and comes to the table, sits there, and waits patiently, you know, while all the other kids are doing everything else under the sun. Well, actually, he's hungry. And so he's at the table ready to eat. Well, the mother says, "Well, you kids get in here! Well, you kids!" And she shouts and she cajoles at the kids. And she puts up this great, big, thunderous irritation with them. And the kids just become more and more irritable. And then Grandpa comes in the door. And Grandpa's a real cool guy. And he says, "Well, how is my favorite family?" And he's got five kids. And every family is his favorite family. He says, "Whenever I come in your house, I feel so much love. I feel so much peace. I feel so much goodness. It's just nice to be in your house." And all the kids immediately turn on their nice self, you know. And they're doing wonderful things for Grandpa. And Grandpa says, oh boy, you know, it's been quite a hot day, and I have been trucking around and driving all over town and doing all sorts of stuff, and I just, oh man, I just really tucker it out. But when I have supper with you guys, I'll feel very good." So, one of the kids, he crawls under the table, and he unlaces his Grandpa's shoes, and he takes them off. And he comes out looking at Grandpa, "I got your shoes." And Grandpa looks down at him and says, "You are an angel. How did you know that they were hurting my feet? I wanted to have them off. Thank you so much." And the boy takes his shoes to the kitchen counter and gets out the shoe polish and polishes them and makes them all nice for Grandpa, and then sets them by his chair in the living room, because he knows where Grandpa likes to sit. And when Grandpa comes, nobody takes that chair. That's Grandpa's chair. Not because he wants it, but because they want to show their love and respect for him. Well, they finish dinner, and they all go into the living room, and Grandpa sits there, and he said, "You know, kids, I had a wonderful time this morning. I was downtown feeding the pigeons. You know, I'm retired, so I had to do something. So I'm feeding the pigeons. And I was sitting there on a park bench with these other gentlemen, and all of them were very nice people. They were not street people. They were people who just doing their thing. And as I talked to them, I found out that one of them was the retired president of the bank. Another was the retired CEO from a major industry there in town, Ford Motor Company or something like that. And another was the big people, real former big people. And here they are just sitting there feeding the pigeons. And I said to them, you know, you guys, I see you here every day almost when I come over and feed the pigeons. I wonder, what would you think if every day I would bring over one of my grandchildren? And he said, hey, be nice. If it's your grandchild, they must be very loving and very wonderful and very gentle. So I decided I'm going to take one of you over to meet these people. And all of the kids looked at it and said, I don't want to do that. You know, they wanted to do what Grandpa wanted, but they didn't want to go meet a bunch of old codgers, you know. So, but the young boy who got to the table first, he said, Gramps, can I go? Please? And Grandpa says, well, of course. So he took him along with him as he went back to the park. And the old friends were still there. And he said to them, this is my grandson. His name is Peter. And the guy says, hi, Peter. How you doing, Peter? And they're just nice people. I mean, here they're big men, you know, making millions and stuff like that. And they're sitting at the park just enjoying the relaxation of it, you know. And so Peter says, what business had you been in, you know? And so he says, well, I ran Ford Motor Company, and we did this and did that. But you know, I kept telling the guys at Ford Motor Company, if they just do this here, they could all be rich and famous and successful. But the guys always wanted to spend their money the minute they got it, and they wanted to have their pleasure right now the minute they got it. They didn't want to save and build and grow and really have lots of things, you know. And then they're always worried because they don't have any money. And Peter said, well, what do you mean you tell them what to do? What would you tell them to do? So he explained to Peter what he would tell them, how he would balance his money, and he'd take it. But I've only got 50 cents. I've only got a dollar. You know, I mean, I'm only 11 and a half years old. You know, I don't have a lot of money. It doesn't matter how much you got. It's a matter of how you handle what you got. If you make every penny you have grow, not thinking you have to spend it just because you got it, your mother and dad, they provide you with everything you need, your clothing, your food, and your housing, and all that good stuff, and you can do anything you want. Now, if I were you, this is what I would do. But, of course, you do what you want to do because it's your world. And the boy says, well, Mr. Ford, you know, if you are the one who made Ford Motors so big and, you know, what you say must be good. And he says, well, I don't know about that. A lot of people didn't think so. But, yes, it was good. And I'm very comfortable. Well, why are you sitting here in the park? Because it's comfortable. Nobody comes to me in the park to bother me and ask me questions and try to pull my cork. I'm just here having fun. And the boy says, do I bother you? And the man says, if you're sincere and you ask any questions at all and you follow through on what you say you're going to do, I'm your man. I'll tell you anything and I'll take the time with you. And the boy ran home and he told his mom and dad about it. He told them, the big people, you met those people in the park, you know? Man, I've tried to get into their office for years. You know, never made it. Here you are sitting right in their lap. And Peter says, well, you know, Mom, he said, and the other guys too, he said he would tell me all of the secrets of how he made so much money and stuff. And you know, Mom, I'm going to go listen to him. I'm going to go and learn. And the other kids in the family were sitting there watching and thinking very incredulously, nah, that's a bunch of hooey, how you can't make money with the few pennies that you have, and so forth. Well, the kid didn't say anything more to his brothers and sisters, but he went back every day with his grandpa, and he met these people, and he talked to them. And he took his little bit of money, and he bought some stock with it, and he bought some simple things with it. You say, well, it wouldn't be enough to buy stock. Well, He put it down on the stock. And so when he had enough money, it would buy the stock. It was already dedicated, you know. And so pretty soon he had enough money to buy a stock. And it was, what, $5.95 a share, you know. No, that wasn't too hard. But he was able to buy it. He had the arrangement to do it because he was with these big wheels. They were helping a little bit. But it was still his money. And then they showed him how it was growing. They showed him, they taught him all about how Ford Motor Company operates and how its financial structure is set up and stuff like that. And the kid says, "Wow, wow." And now, Grandpa went home. He doesn't live with his daughter, but he visited with there. And he said to the rest of the kids, "You know, we all have opportunities in life to do wonderful things. And we can be upset and we can be unhappy, or we can flow with it. And if we flow with it, the door opens up for beautiful things to take place for us. And if we're upset with it, well, I could never have a bus. I could never have a big car. I could never have a nice home. I don't earn enough money. There's no way it could happen." And of course, you talk like that and you cut yourself off. Now, the mother and father more or less talk that way because they were hard working and they had five kids and they were raising them and trying to give them the very best, and the kids were giving them hell, and mother and dad were making hell out of the kids giving them hell, and Grandpa comes in the house and it's peace. And one day his daughter said, "Dad, I don't really understand what magic you have over at my kids, but when you come in the house they are just so loving and so peaceful. And they do things never would they do for us, you know." And Grandpa says, "Well, you know, I like myself. And I like everybody in my world. I don't see anybody doing any dumb stuff. I don't see anybody making mistakes. I don't see anybody getting in trouble. But I'm their parent. I have to do..." "No. Remember how I raised you? You were so lenient." "No, I wasn't lenient. I was guiding you. Guiding you little by little along the path to make you into the wonderful parent that you are today. But you're not applying it to your own kids. You're thinking that you're going to give your kids more freedom than I gave you because you thought that you didn't have all the freedom you had. But look at the person you are because of your guided freedom that you had." So all the kids were gathering at the table, and Grandpa was there again for supper. And they said, "Grandpa, how come Peter gets all this good stuff?" "Well, Peter's just like all the rest of you. But Peter listens to someone who is older giving him advice, and then Peter follows it. Now, you all could do the same thing Peter did. You all got the same resources Peter has. You have the same opportunity. Now, how many of you want to come with me and sit and talk to a couple of old codgers in the park, you know?" "Well, doesn't sound very interesting." "Oh," Peter said, you don't know what they talk about. You don't know the thing. Do you know they talk about racing cars, and they talk about things they did when they were young and how they had to train themselves to hold back on their desires until they could afford to pay for it, until they could make their investments and stuff like that. And the things that they talk about, it's just like being on a speedboat racetrack when you're listening to these guys talk. They got so many interesting things to say." And so the brothers and sisters, some said, "Hey, that would be interesting to go." But three of them didn't. Arnold went along. And Arnold, he was sort of the guy who took off Grandpa's shoes and polished them for him, you know. He really wants to, you know, do something nice. So Arnold, who was 2 years younger, went along with Peter. And Arnold had the sense to keep quiet. And he didn't say anything. And then he said to one of the guys, he said, "I would like to make a little bit of money, but yeah, you're only 9 years old. And, you know, you can't make any money." "Well, I can. I tell you what I'll do. Can I come over to your house and mow your lawn?" And they said, "Sure. Why not?" But remember, Arnold, I'm responsible for you when you're at my house. I'm responsible if you hurt yourself with my equipment. So, Arnold, I have some very nice equipment. I have lawnmowers that work with motors and stuff. But if you want to really come and mow my lawn, I'll buy a hand lawnmower so you can push it by hand, because you're not ready yet to run the motor ones yet. And so once you learn how and show me that you really are very careful with everything you do, then we'll let you use the gas ones. And Arnold says, wow, the gas ones have a seat on it too. Man, you know, that'd be great. Arnold, I want to tell you one thing, the man said. Whatever you do, do it well. If you can only do a little square of the lawn, do a little square. Don't go trying to run over the whole lawn and run here and making a mess out of everything. Just do every little bit perfect as you go along. And Arnold, pretty soon you'll realize you can do it all. But you learn first by doing it little. Well, Arnold learned. And so Arnold got money. And he bought stocks like his brother Peter did. And pretty soon Arnold and Peter were working together. And Arnold and Peter were both mowing the lawns. And Arnold and Peter were both making money and putting it into investments. And what happened? When Arnold turned 15 and Peter turned 17, they went into business together. Yeah, they went into Google business. But the story goes on from there. Now, you see, here we are at the dining room table, and I'm feeding Rex tidbits from the table, which I probably shouldn't do, but it's my table and I want to do it. So I give him a little piece of carrot, and I give him this or that, and even a tomato, a little cherry tomato. And he had to investigate it for a good few minutes before he finally ate it. But he's very happy. He's very happy. And then I give Ellen's little schnauz, a miniature pincer, a piece of carrot, too. And Ellen says, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. Now, if Ellen had been with the grandfather in this story, she would have learned that you don't do that. You don't say, don't do that. What you say to your children is, oh, how nice of you. How wonderful of you to give him some carrots, too. Gee, that's really great. Would you mind if I saw everything you gave him so I would know how much you gave him so I don't overgive him to myself? Because I like to feed him, too, you know. I like to give him treats, too. Wow. What a cool way to approach something, you know. And so then I'm giving him a big carrot, and she says, please, let me chop that up just a little bit. And I said, oh, he can chop it himself. She says, no, no, it comes out on the stool and it's kind of not good. And I said, okay, whatever you want to do. But you see, when she comes at me with her loving attitude that she appreciates what I'm doing and she delights in what I'm doing and she feels that everything I'm doing is wonderful, it's her doing that, you know. That's her reflection. Then everything I do will be a wonderful thing in her mind and her heart. And she will be so relaxed and so peaceful. And she'll feel so good about it. And all the rest of you, too. All the rest of you, too. Because every time I do something for any one of you, the other one's saying, I want to get in there, too. And I want to, you know, and that's not what you do. I told Beatrice Enns, this little pumpkin head from Switzerland, I said, please don't make an appointment to come and see me. Don't. I said, when something's on your heart, something's in your mind, just come barging right in and say, Herb, you got a second? And I'll give you a second. And so I stopped doing what I'm doing, which is no big deal. If I had to go to the bathroom, I had to stop too, you know. And so I'll stop and talk to you about what you wanted to know. And then as soon as we're done with whatever it is that you wanted to talk about, then you say, thank you, thank you, thank you, and up you go and give me a hug and a kiss and on your way, you know. But the thing is, don't forget that hug and kiss. Now, the big thing is, If you like yourself, you don't have to be defensive of yourself. And you don't have to say, well, I want what they got. I want what they got. As Sylvia's going in for a little Venice canal work in her mouth. And so Sylvia, Ingeborg hears about this, and she says, don't I have a need for canal work too? Don't I have a need for something too? And I said, oh, Ingeborg, you are so blessed that you don't need that. But Ingeborg, we're going to buy you a Segway. You know what a Segway is? That's that two-wheel cart you stand on, and it takes you all over the place. And it's with a gyroscope in it that keeps it upright. You just stand there, and you lean to the right or to the left, and it turns around, and you put the brakes on, and it works just perfect. And you have little containers on the side to hold all the things you want to carry. And you don't have to walk. And you do have to pay attention where you're going, because you couldn't go down a steep hill. But it'll stay, keep going up. You'll stay upright. But isn't that interesting? Now, a new firm in Japan had just come out with another Segway. They're in competition now. And so they're going to be making it. And so the Segway should come down in price. Because with this new firm that's making them, they should have some competition. Now, can you handle that? Can Ingeborg, yes! Hey, you know, yes, everything's yes. Ingeborg, go swimming in the pool. When someone else is up there, go, the two of you swim. And Ingeborg, go, ride on your Segway. Ingeborg, go, you know, take care of your cat and your dog and your pigs and your cows and your sheep and your animals, whatever they may be. But just stay involved in life. Because, you see, those men on the park bench, they could just die out of nothing to do. But what they're doing is they're sharing with each other on a much more less primitive basis than they were before. Because before they were doggy dog, you know, they were real tough on each other. But now they're just having a wonderful time and a wonderful relaxation and being themselves and just enjoying it. And you know, after they get tired of sitting on the park bench and feeding the pigeons, what are they going to do? They'll start a new Ford Motor Company. Really? And or they'll start a new this or that. Like these kids who are 14, 15 years old, and they sell their business for $1 billion, you know, because it's such a magnificent thing, and then they go out and create some new businesses. Not in competition to the old, hey, they got too many ideas, on and on they go, wonderful. But this is what magic happens when you take a breather in between each one of your successes. Now, are you taking a breather between your successes? Can you raise your family so that all of your children wake up to realize that it's up to them to put bread on the table for themselves? For whatever things they want? Now, we have those two kids working with their dad. You know, they're just little kids, 9 and 11. And what are they doing? They're working their hearts. But do they expect to get paid? Not really. But do you think they're going to get paid? My, yes. What did we say to them? We said, well, we could hang on to those beds and we could use them someplace and break our back moving them every time we do. But if we give them to these kids, that'll be something they'll have forever. It'll last them, you know, through their growing up years, and when they leave home, they might even take it with them as because it's so perfect. Now, do you think they'll like it? Mm-hmm. Right. Now, did they say they wanted it when we offered it to them?
Yes.
Very much so. And did they treat it with a lot of respect?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you see, this is what really goes to show when you're working with people. Now, how is Ellen going to have her dog fed properly? By seeing it done. Not by saying, it shouldn't be done this way and shouldn't be done that way, but saying, hey, I like to feed my baby. And just feed your baby, whatever you want to do. But like yourself. Don't think things are going contrary to your desire for yourself, because if that's what you think, then that's what you're doing. And if you like yourself, everything goes harmoniously with you, and everything functions beautifully. And you know that. So, it's now time for you to finish the wonderful food work in the kitchen, and then lay your head down for a short winter's nap, and wake up in a joyful shout and a happy snap. So, know that I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.